I've talked to you about this before with Chopin's music, that I just feel like, you know, he has this incredibly intimate, romantic sort of vulnerability about his musical persona, which is so beautifully expressed on the cello, I think, because the cello is so human in its range. You know, it's all within the human voice range. And so, like, some of these etudes and stuff, like, I can't believe they weren't written for cello and piano.
Right.
It sounds like it obviously was written for cello and piano. You know, it fits the voice of the cello so unbelievably well. And I find the music almost, I mean, of course I'm biased, but I find it, I've actually had some pianists tell me too, that like the pieces are so much more heartbreaking when it's played with cello and piano than with just the solo piano.
It's funny, not every composer sort of lends itself. Bach is probably one of the best that sort of lends itself to be in different transcriptions. These not only sound natural, but indeed sort of speak to the heart. Where did you discover some of these? Because like I one of my absolute favorite Chopin waltzes is the Opus 64 number 2. And it's so awesome to hear it in this version.
Isn't it cool? Thanks. Yeah, I know. You know, what was really interesting, I knew the sonata and I knew the Polonaise Brilliant and had played them since I was a kid. And then in 2010, it was the, you know, 200th anniversary of his birth. And a pianist in Texas asked me, Michelle Schumann at University of Texas Austin, said, how would you like to do an all Chopin recital, you know, in honor of his 200th birthday? And the moment I said yes to that, suddenly, like, two other pianists asked me to do it. So I was like, I started researching. I was thinking, you know, really, how am I going to fill a full recital? After the Sonata and the Polonaise, I know I've got, like, an arrangement of one of the nocturnes, and I've heard that there's, you know, an arrangement of one of the etudes, which they call actually the cello etude, because it sounds so, like, it was so perfect. It sounds like it was written for the cello. And so I started looking all over, and I found this fantastic Polish edition of all of these transcriptions by Glazunov and all these Russian and, you know, Slavic composers doing these arrangements of these pieces. And I started researching it and seeing that actually from the moment that he was writing these pieces, his great friend, the French cellist Jean Fanchon, who he wrote the sonata for, had started talking to him about transcribing the solo piano pieces for cello and piano. And Chopin was really very supportive of that and was saying, have at it, you know. And so then I started delving into this transcription, and just one was more beautiful than the next. And some of them, you know, like, they just, I find interestingly the same, that interesting connection with Bach, that, because my two favorite composers have always been Bach and Chopin, and interestingly, Chopin, there are only two composers who he has revered. One was Bach and one was Mozart. And I do find that both Bach and Chopin's music, there's something about them, for very different reasons, I think, that really lends them the music to transcribing it to other instrumentations, because what is the kernel of the music is so powerful that it transcends whatever the voice was that it was originally written for in many ways.
We're speaking with Sarah Sennenbrogiu, who has an amazing Chopin album out now on Sebastian Records. It was just released, and I think, you know, violinists don't have a sonata by Chopin. Trumpeters,
no.
You know, trumpeters, you know, the only other sonata besides for the piano, he wrote a cello sonata.
Yes, actually the only really other instrument that he wrote original music for other than piano was cello. He wrote the sonata, he wrote the Polonaise Brilliant, and then there was the trio. But other than that, everything else was for piano. And so he was drawn to the voice of the cello. You know, the thing about, I think, that's so, you know, so closely entwined in Chopin's music is Chopin's personality and why he wrote the way he wrote. And when you read about him, you know, he had this unbelievably virtuosic technique. Just, he could do anything on the piano, but his persona was very intimate and very vulnerable. And so when he went to Vienna to make his fortune as a pianist, when he left Poland, Vienna at the time was really the center of, you know, the performance world. He didn't really meet with that much success because everyone talked about how they had heard 15 different shades of triple pianissimo when he played. You know, everything that he did was so intimate and so vulnerable that it didn't really translate into the big halls. And where he really found his niche was when he went to Paris and started playing in the salons, where you would play in these private homes of these very wealthy people who had very large, great rooms where they would have performances. But it still was a room. It wasn't a you know, and so at the most it maybe held 150 people instead of, you know, 1,000 people. And that's where Chopin's real success started to happen, because in that intimate setting, then the power of that unbelievably romantic writing and the sort of shock value of the incredible colors that he pulls out of the music really hit you right, you know, it was very, very powerful and strong. And so he really became very successful in that. And I think that that's what's interesting about this mix of the cello with Chopin's music, because I think in many ways the cello, you know, when you think of violin and piano, you think of very virtuosic, you know, whereas the cello, it's the soulful one of the solo instruments, you know. It has that sort of soulful, so human quality to it. And that's what I think is also so striking about Chopin's music, is it has this incredibly humanistic, soulful quality. You see the fragility of mankind in his music, you know. You see our weaknesses and how that makes us beautiful in many ways, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
The flaws that make you so unique. I remember Rudolf Serkin one time saying to me, when I was playing with him at Marlborough, that he said how when the great composers really want to make their most beautiful and intimate statement of the melody, they'll always give it to the cello, because they know that it goes straight to the heart, because it's within our own human, our own voice range, and so somehow it speaks to us more directly. And I really feel like that combination with Chopin's music is so powerful. I've just loved playing this music. I just am in love with it, and I it's like I never get tired of playing it, because there's just, it's just such a beautiful world to live in.
We both know people who fit so incredibly well as a collaborative artist that we want to, you know, enjoy and make music. And when you go to Chopin, I think it was a real natural for you and Bob to sort of do these pieces. Tell us a little bit about your relationship and playing these works.
Oh my gosh. Bob is just so unbelievable. I mean, there's a very funny video actually right now. If you go to YouTube and you put in making of the Chopin CD with Sarah and Bob or something, there's a really funny video that we recorded. But like Bob and I basically met on Facebook, which is really funny. I mean, I can't believe that we didn't play together, because we were at all the same schools, but sort of bouncing back and forth, and we never quite crossed paths until Odin Rathman of the West Branch International Music Academy and Music Festival invited us both to perform there a few years ago, and we were supposed to play something together, and it was right after I had started playing all these Chopin pieces. And so we started talking on Facebook, because I was telling him, you know, oh, I'm so in love with these transcriptions. My gosh, would you be interested in doing any of them? They're just so beautiful. And he was like, oh, my gosh, that sounds like a great idea. Oh, I'd love to do that. And Odin wrote on Facebook, he said, you two, go get a room. we were swooning about it. But anyway, we got together, and the first moment we played the etude and a couple of the waltzes and one of the nocturnes. And Bob looked at me and he said, "You should record these." And I hadn't even thought of it, actually. I was just really getting to know them. But the second we started playing together, it was like we've been playing together all our lives. I mean, he just literally was like my soulmate. It was as if we had, I mean, really, it was like our souls were intertwined. And we just, it was, nothing had to be spoken. We knew intuitively exactly that incredibly fluid give and take that this music needs. We just had exactly the right combination of our two personalities to have it. And so the moment I played with him, I was like, what can I do to play more with him, with Bob Koenig? Because it's just so magical when we play together for me. And I just, he just has such a beautiful touch. And for this music, I think it's sometimes maybe hard for pianists to be able to have that give and take with a cellist doing the transcriptions, because they're used to playing them as a solo pianist without any other person, you know? And just somehow Bob and I it was just magic from the beginning. I know my husband got very, very jealous hearing me talk about Bob. He was like, oh my gosh. And it was so good when he met Bob and realized that Bob had a partner as well. So it was okay. Bob was just my musical soulmate. Oh my gosh, it's just been magical. I love playing with him. And he, you know, the sonata has a massive piano part. I mean, it's huge. It's the last major work that Chopin wrote before he died. And he really, really put all of his formidable technique into that piano writing. And Bob just kicks butt with it. I mean, he just sounds fantastic. He said he's so happy with it. He really feels like it's his best playing ever. And I really feel like it's my best playing ever on recording. And I've made, 15 CDs for EMI and Angel and Polygram and Decca and everybody, but this and Koch. But I feel like this is my best playing ever, which is good when you think, because you hope that you're continuing to get better, you know.
It also has to speak well that this is a labor of love for both of you, because he is touring, you know, playing and collaborating with people around the world. You have this solo career teaching and this amazing trio that you're in. So to find time to do substantial works like this, it has to be something that you guys really wanted to do.
Yeah, we really, really did. And we... You know, it was really hard to find the time within both of our schedules to be able to find the time to record it. And it was amazing because we recorded it unbelievably quickly once we found the time, because we had a very short amount of time to get it done. But then we even got it done quicker than that, because it was like the moment we walked in, both of us, we're just going for broke. And because we had this incredible connection musically with this music, we were able to simultaneously go for broke, and it worked. That was what was amazing. I mean, some of those were straight takes. I was just like, I remember before the, actually the Opus 64 waltz, I said to Bob, we may have to try those whirling dervish runs a few times, because you know, they're so tricky for on cello as opposed to the piano. And so I said, you know, I hope you don't mind, we have to do it. We got it in one take. And the two of us were listening to the playback, and I was like, holy macaroni, I can't believe it. He's like, yeah, you nailed it. He said, by the time we did it, you know, because it comes back three times. And he said, the last time I was just sitting there going, well, that's done, yay, and on to the next piece.
Oh man!
And we got like the slow movement of the sonata in one straight take. It just was magical. It just was magical. I just find this music so so beautiful, and it's been haunting me so much. And so now what I'm trying to do is put together a Kickstarter campaign. I have had this really, really, really clear vision of three short films based on three of the pieces, on the Etude, the Opus 64 Waltz, and the Opus Posthumus Nocturne. And they came to me in my dreams. Like Stephanie Myers had the Twilight books came to her in a dream. Well, I don't think I'll have the same kind of success that she did, but they came to me in a dream, these three interrelated stories, and just really specific. So, and it just keeps coming back to me at night when I'm sleeping. And so I finally said, you know what, I've got to film this. I've got to film. It's like the visual reaction to the emotional content of the music. And so I'm putting the other thing. I'm trying to, you know, I'm never having done this before. I'm writing a script, and not that there's any dialogue. It's just the music is a dialogue, but I'm writing it. I'm blocking it all out with the music and everything. I'm super excited about it.
Well, it has huge substance in it. Your love of this music comes out incredibly well in this recording. It's called The Chopin Collection, and it's just out on Sebastian Records. It's on iTunes. It's on Amazon. And, of course, there are physical CDs as well. So it's so good to talk to you. I am hoping that we will see you in San Antonio, whether it's you or your trio. We want you to be here playing Chopin and so much more.
Oh, I would love to. Well, I may actually be in San Antonio this summer, teaching at a festival and playing actually a recital and a concerto. But I'm not sure yet if it's going to be just in Dallas or in Dallas and in San Antonio. And I'm playing with the trio in Austin, so maybe I'll see you then.
Oh, excellent. July. Yeah, well, we'll keep an eye out and keep in touch. And congratulations, the Chopin Collection is a delight.
Oh, thank you so much, John. I really appreciate it.